Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Studios for March 6th, 2019. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sami, and we're here this week to preview the BNP Paribas Open. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well, excited for this amazing tournament. What about you, Nima?
I'm right there with you. You know, this is, Parsa, every year we've been doing this for many years, right? And it's like we come back and it's like the beginning of March, and then, you know, there's still snow outside because we're in the East Coast, and we're like, spring has to be here soon because we've had this long winter. And then, you know, you turn on the TV, or if you're there or whatever it is, and it's like sunshine and palm trees, and it's just this tennis oasis that is there to please everybody and give us some amazing tennis for 10 days or so before we head over to Miami. And I don't think this year is going to be any different. Looks like another amazing event, both on the women's and men's side. Before we jump into the draw previews for the women and men, Parsa, let's look over the month of February. So last time we spoke with everybody, we had wrapped up Australia. You know, we know everybody knows what happened down there. And the February was a good month. I mean, we had, you know, guys like Tsonga coming back from injury. He won a tournament. He was out for a bit. Monfils, he's with Svitolina right now. They look like they're in love, and they're both killing it, playing really well. We had Opelka winning in your backyard in Long Island, serving the lights out, just beating actually a Canadian guy, Braden Schnurr, who played at the, I think, UNC in his college days. And then we had Jerry, really good young Serbian player. What a story he is. They lost both of his parents to cancer, comes, you know, all the way to win Rio 500 event. He's like in the 30s now, then followed up with, I think, a quarters or semis in Sao Paulo last week. Then we had Nick Kyrgios, I mean, just played the lights out last week in Acapulco, defeating the likes of Seppi, Nadal, Wawrinka, Isner, and then finally Zverev to win the biggest title of his career. And now he's back to 31 in the world, where he was previously 72 coming into Acapulco. So we're going to watch out for him in the IW draw. And then other things we got to look at, we had Mertens winning a big tournament in Doha, and then Bencic winning in Dubai. So it's nice to see those guys coming through and doing some damage. On other notes, we had Milos Raonic once again, Parsa, breaking up with another coach ahead of IW with Goran Ivanišević. I mean, the guys probably had easily over 12 coaches, and both of us having coaching backgrounds. I mean, you know, he had some interesting things and then obviously Naomi Osaka, right? She got rid of Sasha after winning two majors. And you had some interesting things to say. Is it like a millennial thing? Do we consider Raonic a millennial though, right? The guy's like 30. So is he kind of in that boat too, or is it like what do you think is going on there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I honestly just think it's one of those things where, you know, you keep looking and constantly searching for that magic pill that's going to shoot you back to where you need to be. And,
okay.
You know, sometimes it's got to be a reflectory type of assessment versus looking to the outside to see what changes can be made, you know. And I think it's a constant game that is very hard when you're in it to actually see it. So that's when you rely on your confidants, when you rely on your parents or people that are close to you, have known you for a long time, to really give you that opportunity to, you know, to do something. So what do you think, Nima?
Well, I think with Raonic, I really don't think he's a very emotional guy. From what I knew from him when he was younger, you know, I hit with him a bunch of times and talking to him, and he's a very robotic character, a little bit like Kawhi Leonard, you know, the Toronto Raptors guy. He's a little bit, you know, I don't know if it's ironic that they're both with New Balance or whatever it is, but it's but it's they're very, you know, they just put their heads down, kind of like a Sampras type of guy, you know what I mean? Where they just put their heads down and then they just get down to business. But I think it's just business, man. Like, if you think something's not working, he's not looking for loyalty. He's like, okay, thanks, man. Thanks for everything. You know, I'm done. And I think that's kind of what it is. With Osaka, I really have no idea. Very perplexing for me. I mean, like you said, you know, at the end of the day, within the matter of the US Open to the Australian Open, you become the number one ranked, you know, woman in the world, and you're not, like, and you're winning two majors. Like, who does that? Nobody's done that. You know, nobody's been able to do that. Nobody's been able to do that except for her and Serena in the last little while. I know that, like, Kerber had that good year, but I don't think she was she winning consecutive majors. Maybe, right? I think she had that one year where she was killing it. But other than that, it's like at this age, you know, 18, 20, whatever she is, to come in and then play that well. It's, and then she's defending champion here too, right? And it's like,
and complete credit to Sasha, because he's the one that's, you know, broken her out of her shell and got her to put a little bit more shape on the tennis ball, and it's had obviously huge results.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a strange decision, but we never really know. We're only speculating.
Yes.
You know, it could have been a multitude of things, and, you know, who knows? But yeah, I mean, it is what it is, and let's see how she rebounds, and see if it was her or if it was the coach that was really, you know, bringing peak performance out of her.
Definitely. And I mean, this is where I think it might, you know, we were talking about this, and if we're going based on gut feelings, she's in for a little bit of a slump. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen, but the likelihood is that it probably will, just based on what she's saying, because everything has just been, I mean, listen, man, within the matter of, you know, basically September, because that's when the US Open ends, until the end of January, you've pocketed with endorsements easily over $10 million. And you're the number one ranked player in the world. You have a very unique look. You're from Japan. I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening. You know what I'm saying? And it's, for me, that's a lot to take in for a very young person, especially somebody who doesn't look like they're really into the limelight. You know what I mean? So, and then you're there. You're sitting on top of the mountain. You're looking down, and it's like, you know, what do I do now? And you just got to try to keep it going, I guess, right? So, anyways, I mean, it's a very interesting dynamic, and we'll see how her draw plays out. So Parsa, let's jump right into that. We have, as we just spoke about her, Osaka is the number one ranked player in seed here. She's got the likes of, you know, Collins and Bencic and Wozniacki, who's been a little bit quiet, and Svetasova and Kontaveit and Vecic, Pliskova in her draw. I think, if I'm based on what I saw throughout the month of February, I really like what I saw from Bencic. I think Belinda Bencic is a real player too. Definitely has top 8 caliber, in my opinion. Super talented, very good ball striker, has that edge too. I think she's kind of, you know, smoothed herself out, you know, from years past where she would have a lot of tantrums and stuff like that. So I think for me, even though, you know, the story is going to be around Osaka and how she rebounds in the desert, defending champion, and, you know, all of this fanfare and press and two slams and Sasha and all of the stuff, I think it's going to be a little bit too much for her to take in. Even Collins is, you know, had a good Australian Open. She might be able to take her out. But for me, I'm going with Bencic to get through there. What do you think about this little first quarter?
Yeah, man, I love the pick because, you know, she's definitely an informed player, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
There is, you know, something to be said about, you know, just Wozniacki there. Osaka there, obviously, you know, and I think she's going to be very motivated. I think the good vibes are going to come back. I'm going to go with the good vibes as what it is. I'm going to have Osaka in this section, despite the troubles that we've identified.
Yes.
You know, I want to see, like, I still can't turn on her because I think she's an incredible talent, an incredible player.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's going to be good vibes when she gets out there. You know, sometimes those juices get flowing and you sort of click back into place just as a matter of your environment that you just become comfortable again. But it's going to be very telling here, Nima. I'll definitely put that out there. I'll have Osaka going through, but it's going to be very telling if she doesn't. And I think it's going to bode not so well for her 2019. I think this is a huge tournament, as important for her career, in her young career so far, believe it or not, even though she's won two slams.
Okay, yeah, no, that's, I think I would definitely agree with you on that one. You know, moving over to quarter number two, we have Kvitova, who's had a great year, third seed here. We have Pavlyuchenkova, we have Keys, who's coming back, Georges, Sabalenka, you know, Suarez, Navarro, and then Kerber. You know, Parsa, for me, I mean, she plays amazing on hard courts. I think she's such a strong, you know, young woman, and I love Sabalenka, and I think she's going to bring the noise here big time. And I think that, for me, I would be really shocked if she doesn't make the final four here to face off against Bencic. So for me, I'm going to be going with Sabalenka. I think the court surface, like you alluded to, because you played there so many times and you've had so many juniors down there at the events, because it's not that fast of a surface, I don't think that's really conducive to somebody like Kvitova and her game style. I think she needs a little bit more court speed to really make it fly, like a Madrid or, you know, like a Wimbledon. So I think that, for me, I think I'm going with Sabalenka to get through here and make the final four. What do you have?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with a little bit of a wild card. In that, I think for Pliskova, her biggest weakness is her movement on such a slow surface. I think she'll be able to defend a little bit more, and she can still serve through the court. So, you know, and in women's tennis, you know, what we've learned, Nima, over the years now is that you just kind of have to just go and pick with whatever you think, and it most likely won't happen, but you try to go with it. So I'm going to go with a little bit of a wild card there and say Pliskova, because the surface sits up a little bit, she is taller, she has the power to hit through the court. I think that that's going to be my pick there.
Okay. Moving over now to quarter number three, we have led by Bertens and Muguruza. Player called Serena Williams as a 10th seed. Mertens, and then we have Sloane Stephens. A little bit of a wild card for me as well, too, because she's coming in as obviously playing some great tennis, the 4th seed. But can you really, like, look, let's, you know, this is important, right? Because, I mean, we don't want to get too much into the draw, you know, line by line, but Serena Williams gets a bye. Potentially we play Azarenka in her first round, Muguruza in her third round, Bertens in the fourth round, Sloane Stephens in the quarters, to then play either Svitolina or Halep in the semis, and then potentially go opposite against, you know, maybe like a Kerber, Kvitova, or Osaka in the finals. That's a seriously nightmare draw for Serena. Now, with that said, we still believe in Serena. I mean, we will always believe in Serena. It's amazing because, you know, nobody's getting younger out here, Parsa, right? We all age. She's not playing a lot of tournaments. And what are we really basing her form off of, right? Like, is she going to come in here and you know, like, I don't know. I mean, what do you think? What's your call on this one? Can she make the... I'm taking her to make the semis. But very wishful?
I mean, me too. I mean, I saw some video. She's looking even slimmer, Nima.
Yeah, she's in good shape. Yeah, definitely. Which is amazing. Which is huge, right?
I mean, that's like, I mean, because her, if she had one weakness in recent time that she's been playing, is that she's still a little too heavy, and
yeah.
She's definitely addressed it. So, I mean, if she gets to back to tip top physical shape, I mean, come on, you know, it's I'm like tooting Osaka's horn, but it's like an Osaka times two for me, in my opinion.
Okay. We're both going Serena then, is what you're saying?
Heck yeah.
Okay. And now as we move on to quarter number four, we got Halep, who's back to number two in the world, which is good. But I think she's got, you know, some proving, she's got some stuff to prove out here, right? She's got a relatively, you know, tough draw. Not really. I think it's very workable because Kazakina hasn't been playing that well. Ostapenko has dropped significantly. You know, Svitolina can be up and down. So for me, I definitely think that, you know, Halep is the player to beat in this section. And I think she's going right through to the semifinals. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that one. The only one that sort of gets me a little bit, you know, you know what? I'm actually going to go again wild card. I'm going to go with Svitolina upsetting, you know, that one and sort of I'm gonna have her advancing into this section.
Okay. So as we move up to the top of the draw again, I'm gonna be going with Bencic taking out Sabalenka. I'm gonna have Serena taking out Halep, and then I'm going to have. This is tricky for me because I think Bencic can beat Serena, but and let's also remember, man, Serena said that, you know, Bencic is probably going to be the next great player on the circuit. She said this a few years back, and so she really believed in her game. Is she going to be willing to take her out? I still think that that curse of Serena losing in the finals will be upheld here, and I'm going with Belinda Bencic as my 2019 winner. What do you have?
Very good. I have Osaka going to the first semi. I actually made an error. Pliskova is actually in the same section, so I'm going to have Osaka defeating her. So in my second semifinal, I'm actually going to go with Madison Keys. I think she's going to get the California vibes going.
Okay.
And have a nice little run, but she's going to lose in the semis to Osaka. And then in the bottom half of the section here, I've got a Serena Williams versus Svitolina, and I'm really torn in this one, but I do think that Svitolina is going to upend her, and I'm going to have Svitolina as your 2019 Indian Wells champion.
Yeah, it really does seem like a tournament that she could win, because she hasn't really done had that breakthrough at a major, where we're definitely, I mean, we've been talking about this now for a few years, but
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Anyway, it's going to be a really good I think event on the women's side, a lot of compelling matchups coming up. All right, now as we move to the men's, we got Novak Djokovic, hasn't played, has been chilling. He's been down here early, got the good vibes, won this tournament on numerous occasions. He loves it down here. I mean, he's got a tough draw. I mean, he's got, you know, Acapulco winner Kyrgios potentially in the third round, and you know that they both have first round bye, so it's essentially like a second round match. But you know, Kyrgios said in Acapulco that when he saw the draw, he knew he had to get through Seppi to get to Nadal. That's exactly what he wanted to do. You know, Djokovic is going to have a qualifier or a qualifier, and then Kyrgios has either Huber or Cole Schreiber. Realistically, they can both win both of those matches. If that takes place, Kyrgios did defeat Djokovic back in the day, a couple years back here. I know that was a different Djokovic. You talked about that before we got on air. But this is also a different Kyrgios. I mean, this is a guy who's coming off of beating Nadal, Stan, Isner, and Zverev in the matter of like 3 or 4 days. Tough matches, eh? 7-6 in the thirds, you know, really holding it together, using his, you know, unorthodox way of competing to his advantage. Call it good or bad for the game, I think it's great, because I don't want to see everybody being the same out there. And you know, I've defended Kyrgios, and you know, I've been a fan of his for many years, and I also said that I'm not going to be on his side until he actually does something again, and he's done something now, so he's back in my good book. So let's go and see what he can do here. I really think that if he can get through Djokovic, he's going to definitely make the semis here. It's tough. I mean, Djokovic is going to be super well-rested. Kyrgios is going to be nothing but tired, but he's going to have some time off. The finals was on Saturday, not even Sunday. We're already at Wednesday. I don't think they're playing tomorrow either, because it's first round. I don't think they're going to play on Saturday either. Friday. Maybe a Saturday-Sunday match. So that's almost a week off, right? Kyrgios is 23. Hopefully he's taking care of himself. He's off the jet skis, because that's what Ollie was doing in Acapulco, even though he won the tournament. We know Djokovic is ultra professional, not even super, is beyond that. So for me, it's a very interesting match. I would definitely like to see it, but then there's other guys. For me, it's either going to be Joker, Kyrgios, or Monfils making the semis here, because those have been the, you know, the three informed guys in the last little while. I'm going to go with the wild card here, even though it's probably going to bite me, and I'm going with Nick Kyrgios into the semis. What do you think?
Yeah, I love your theory. I love your chitter-chatter. I love all of it. Yeah. But we've got 2019 Novak Djokovic, circa 2013 Novak Djokovic. There's no stopping this dude, man. He's in the absolute peak prime condition,
yes,
mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally. Everything is clicking on all cylinders right now. He's healthy. There's no stopping this man. Did you see that Australian Open final, Nima? Or are you just like, what are you thinking, man? There's no Kyrgios. You know, maybe it could be a Kyrgios 6 in the third type of deal, but I don't think it's going to get there. I think Djokovic will put too many balls back in play, especially on the surface. I definitely have Djokovic going to the semis here.
Yes. That's the pick to go with, I would definitely say, for sure. But you know, you just got to try to mix it up once in a while. I was a move to quarter now. Yeah, as we move to quarter number two, we got the likes of a very nice one, too. We got Zverev, we got Dimitrov, we got Dinamure, we got Raonic, Tsitsipas, Batista Agut, Jerry, as well as Anderson, who's trying to get back from injury. I mean, how can you go against Stefanos right now? You know, the guy is just feeling amazing, coming in as a 9th seed with Delpo out, defending champion. Let's give him a shout out, recovering from more knee problems. So hopefully he gets back into action soon. Hopefully we'll see him in Miami for our next draw preview. But I mean, look, I think Stefanos, he really has the mental aspects of this game together. I mean, Parsa, for me, for a guy to win Marseille, go all the way to the Middle East in Dubai, make the finals and lose to Federer 4-4 for a young guy is an incredible result for me. That for me, it just shows ultra maturity. And I mean, I don't know if you follow him on Instagram or whatever, but he was talking about how he didn't even use his cell phone for like a week or 2 weeks. I mean, who does that? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you know, he's a different cat. You know what I'm saying? He beats to the, you know, whatever it is, the drum of his own beat. Yeah, and then he's like, which is good. You know, he looks like a very artistic guy, and he's you know, guys on tour kind of make fun of him and stuff like that because he's different. But he does his own thing, man. And I mean, how can you, you know, disagree with his results? And he looks like he's all in. You know what I mean? He's all in. He's enjoying. He's got that balance where he chills. He does his videos for YouTube. He hangs out with his family. And then, you know, he'll work hard. And he's got the physique. He's got the results. He's got the confidence. And this guy is just on fire right now. And I don't see anybody else in this section who's got the same mojo at the moment. And for me, that's, you know, it's Tsitsipas all the way to the semis. How about yourself?
Yeah, you know, he's very comfortable in his own skin. You know, yes. That's, I think, the number one thing. For a young guy, it's an incredible thing to watch, and it's great for tennis. You know, we've been begging, I think, for the last 7 years for young people, and I think there's a little wave coming.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You know, there's some players coming up. You know, that whole middle generation, I think it was just too daunting for them, the Nadal, Federer, and all them. And then, you know, 10 years below them, they're just the guys couldn't step up to the plate. It was just too much.
Yes.
But I think the younger guys are like, hey, you're a little old, you know, and I've watched you since I was like 2. You know, I can beat you. And I think Tsitsipas is a prime example of someone who doesn't seemingly phase or feel any of the pressure that it's really you normally would in these kinds of situations. I think you think about it like, oh, I'm playing Federer. He's like, this is awesome. I'm playing Federer. You know, he's on his way out, so I'm gonna whoop his butt. You know, it's a different mindset. It's a mentality that is, I am who I am, and I'm very comfortable with who I am, and that's the kind of player that you want to see come through. You know, you look at someone who was a one generation below Federer and Dimitrov, and who still really hasn't almost found his own identity, weirdly.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's just such a strange thing, you know, to watch. Can I pick Tsitsipas to get to the semis here? You know, I'm not confident. I'm actually going to go with Zverev. I still think Zverev is performing very well at these ATP Masters events. I think he's got that all-around game, the physical. I think he's a little bit more mature. I think he can grind a little bit more and still be very aggressive at the same time. So I'm liking him in this section, but not because I'm not a big fan of Tsitsipas. I think that he just needs one more tick up to gain that consistency necessary. So I'm going to have Zverev here into the semi.
Okay. And now as we move to quarter number three, we got the likes of Nishikori and Pui and Shapovalov and Cilic and Fognini Edmund, who's coming back from injury. Fuchsowicz, who's a really nice young guy for everybody, super athletic, fit guy. And then we got another guy named Roger Federer as a fourth seed coming in. Fed coming in nice, Parsa, actually. After winning Dubai, he's back to number four seed. So he's five in the world now because Delpo is not here. So it's nice that he got that fourth seed. He could, you know, not have to face Joker or Nadal, maybe in the quarter somewhere.
Dude's still winning tournaments, huh?
At 37 and some change. Amazing. 100 titles, Parsa.
This year, right?
100, yeah, he's going to be 38 in August 8th. And he just won his 100th title in Dubai. 9 back from Connors, which was a record I never, ever, ever thought somebody would break. And, I mean, if he can get past that one, that's gonna be something. I mean, because then you're kind of, I don't know. So, quick question, Parsa. Let's say that Federer can get 110 titles. So, 10 more. Then he's done. Joker doesn't get to 110, but he gets like 21 Grand Slams. Who's the GOAT?
Let it happen, and I'll answer the question.
Yeah, yeah. That. So that's we got probably a couple of years at least before we can get to that one. But it's it's interesting. I mean, when I'm looking at this draw, I think it's a pretty good draw for Fed. I mean, he took out Fuchsowicz a couple of weeks ago. Fognini still, I don't think he's, you know, I don't even think he's in, you know, showroom condition yet. He's still trying to get his fitness back. Edmund, definitely not where he needs to be. Shapovalov is playing well, but I don't think that he has the stability and balance in his game to really do some damage. And then for me, Nishikori is the one guy that Fed has to watch out for here. But I think he can beat Nishikori at this tournament. He plays so well here. For me, it's RF all the way to the semis. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going against RF. He's going to be feeling good. The weather's going to be good.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's got a nice first round match coming up. Either one of those guys is going to give him a good rhythm. He's going to get to feel it out.
Yes.
I mean, the one wild card there for him is going to be Stan. You know, Stan can get through. Stan always can pose problems for him, especially on this court.
Yes.
That's who I really look to actually, and he's in much better form than his current ranking. So
absolutely.
And he's continuing to improve. So I think between him, Pui, Nishikori, I think there's definitely some dangerous guys in there. And you know, but I think Fed's going to figure it out. I'm going to go with Federer into the semi as well.
And then, dare I say, another Fedal match in the semis here. I think it's definitely possible. I really think the only person in this entire half that can get in the way of that is a player by the name of Daniel Medvedev. And I mean, this guy, you know, when I did my, you know, picks for top 10 for the end of 2019, I put this guy as a super, you know, guy to watch on your radar. And I mean, can this guy not finish the year top 10? Such a loose, get, like, the guy is just on fire. I mean, he's playing, I definitely think he can beat Nadal here because he doesn't care. He doesn't care who he's playing. He's got that edge. He thinks he's the man. And I like that. You know what I mean? He believes in himself. And I think that's what you need. Very underrated. He's kind of like a little bit of a cooler version of Davidenko. You know what I mean? He's got that Russian vibe, but he doesn't really get that fanfare either. You don't hear too much about him. He had that little bit of a, you know, fight with Tsitsipas on court in Miami where he called him a punk and he's all this and all that, and Tsitsipas just walked off the court. And last year, I don't know if you remember that, but I think Nadal, definitely I see him getting through, like, you know, Donaldson, who's coming back from injury, and Schwartzman. I don't think he's gonna have the firepower. And then Goffin, I don't think he's got the firepower. Hatchinoff's been struggling. And then Isner, I mean, he's playing well, but I think that Isner, after Miami, he's definitely going to have a ranking slide with all the points he's going to have to defend. So I like Rafa to get through to the semis and face Fed, but I definitely think that Medvedev is going to have a serious say in that match if it takes place. Serious. Like, I think he could definitely beat Nadal, but I think that Rafa will figure it out. It's going to be tough. And I think, especially after losing to Kyrgios last week, where he was super upset, maybe we'll close off the show with a little quick thing on that. But I'm going with Nadal versus Federer there. What do you have?
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you on the Medvedev potential. Except I'm going to take it one step further. I think it's going to actually happen. I think he's going to upset him. And I think it's going to be, for me, it's going to be a Medvedev-Federer semifinal.
Okay.
On the bottom half. And then I'm going to have a, who do I have here?
You got Joker and Zverev,
Djokovic in the top. And if you don't mind, I'll go through mine, my picks here.
Do it.
I'm going to go with Djokovic over Zverev pretty handily, actually. And then I'm going to go with Medvedev over Federer.
Wow.
Yep, I almost choked on my own words right there. That's how unbelievable it is. And then I'm going to have a very entertaining Djokovic-Medvedev final with Djokovic holding the trophy because he is in a different stratosphere than everyone else.
All right. So this is what I have. I got Kyrgios, Tsitsipas in the semis. I have Tsitsipas defeating Kyrgios. And then at the bottom, I'm going to have Federer and Nadal. I'm going to have Nadal defeating Federer. And I have Nadal winning this title.
Very good, Nima.
Yes. That's what I got.
Well,
so,
there's one guarantee, right? If he completes the hardcore tournament, he's going to win it.
Yes. Usually that's the case. So we'll see. I mean,
I guess Acapulco, he didn't win. But
I went a little bit off the grid with this one. We'll see what happens. And then we'll reconvene for our Miami preview and while we, when we wrap this one up. So, Parsa, before we sign off for this week, just a quick thing. Did you like what you saw between Kyrgios and Nadal in that match? Did you like that Kyrgios wanted to speed him up, Nadal wanted to slow him down? Nadal said, listen, this guy doesn't respect himself, the crowd, his opponent, all of that stuff. Kyrgios came back with actually a very mature answer. He said, listen, he does his stuff his way. I do my stuff my way, so I'm really not listening to any of that. That's how I am. Everybody's different. He doesn't know my backstory, which I completely agree with. And I think Kyrgios really does get a bad rap, man. Like, do people talk about his charitable work? Do people talk about how he hits with kids at tournaments during his practice sessions? They don't talk about any of this stuff. Do they talk about how much he talks about his grandparents and how much he misses them, how much he loved his girlfriend, all of this? Like, the guy's a nice guy. He's just, when he's on the court, that's how he gets himself going, right? It doesn't mean that he's a terrible human being. Everybody's looking for, like, this country club type image of tennis players. That's not for me, man. I mean, this guy brings a completely new dynamic to the tennis world, and he's going to get us much more popular if he can keep it going. From a streetwear perspective to, you know, to new audience to just a different vibe, and that's it. And I think when he needs to be, like, look at him in the finals. Did you see him doing anything? No, he was ready to go. He's trying to win the match, and there's a referee there for a reason, right? If he feels that this guy's doing something wrong, he's going to give him a code violation. He's going to give him this. He's going to give him that, and he's not going to be able to do anything. And that's it. So I think he was well within his rights to give the underhand serve, to do this, to do that. So what are your thoughts before we say goodbye to everybody this week?
Yeah, I mean, Nadal's a guy that doesn't want to be taken out of his routine, and that's what that is. And it clearly bothered and upset him, and I think you're going to see more opponents do it. I mean, Kyrgios is a guy who doesn't necessarily, you know, I'm sure he respects Rafa, but he's going to do his own thing. I mean, it's competition, and he's playing within the rules, so it's all good. There's absolutely nothing wrong. I actually think Nadal was in the wrong for not following the server's pace. I mean, that's traditional tennis from way back when. You follow the pace of the server. It's an unwritten rule. He was the one that wasn't following through and doing what he's supposed to do. So,
I completely agree.
Whether it's a preparation of 5 seconds and that's all you need, or if it's preparation of the whole 25 seconds, that's up to you as the server.
Yes.
But you do play at the pace of the server. I mean, that's actually the sportsman thing to do. So if someone's holding you up, it's actually them that's being the gamesmanship and not the other way around, in my estimation.
Yeah, and just to sign off here, it was interesting because, you know, people, you know, when they put the quote up, a lot of the media outlets, they didn't put the beginning of the quote where Nadal said that this guy's a super talent, he should be winning slams, he should be doing this, he should be doing that, but because he's like this, that's holding him back. He actually kind of dissed him, but he gave him credit at the beginning as well, too. But nevertheless, I'm totally on Kyrgios' side on this one, even though Nadal is a decorated champion and he's done so much for the sport. I don't think that Nick did anything wrong here. So, Parsa, with that said, thank you very much for your time this week.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening. Parsa and I will be back in a couple weeks, actually, right before the Miami draw, which I think takes place again on a Wednesday, of 2 weeks from today, to preview Miami and wrap up Indian Wells. In the meantime, you can follow Parsa at Parsa Sammy on Twitter as well as Instagram. You can follow myself at Tennis Connected and On Mars on Instagram. Make sure to download this podcast on iTunes and Android. Be good. Watch the event, guys. It's going to be an amazing one. March Madness is here, and we shall talk to you in a couple of weeks.